Do you know what your earned revenue is and your driver efficiency scores are?
Inventory to storage ratio, cost to acquire a client.
Task efficiency scores, your lead costs. Do you really know your numbers? Do you?
Let's cut out the practices that are diminishing your performance.
And optimize your business operation.
If you're like me and you don't know what any of this means, watch until the end of the video.
Hey, what are you doing? Put this down.
Watching them boys.
Do you know what KPIs are?
KPIs?
Yeah, what it stand for?
At first I said killer performance instincts.
Is that true, Tina?
It's key performance indicators.
Close enough.
Yeah. So key performance indicators. So these are key metrics that you track that define certain procedures or certain processes in your business so you can be able to track them over a longer period of time. So, Tina, what does KPI means?
KPI means a performance indicator or key performance indicator is a type of performance measurements. KPIs evaluate the success of an organization or of a particular activity in which it engages. Mm.
So these are the ones we're going to go over. So earned revenue. Just think of when you first think of earned revenue. We only found this out is because we got to a week and our sales dropped, and then the amount we had to spend was higher than our sales. And we were like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, like we got a lot of work. Why we ain't got no money?
Yeah, if I remember that. And what time was that? It was like the fall?
It was the tail end of the fall.
Okay, yeah.
It was the end of the fall because then you'll make these huge sales at the beginning of the fall and then you'll fill up your calendar. And then we had nothing to rent out. We was completely booked out across the board and everything was sold, but then we had no new cash flow coming in. So most people only track cash flow, like how much money they actually bring in. But there's three different metrics. There's cash flow, which is the income that you actually bring in on a regular basis, which would be like if it's over a week, we track it over a week. This is the numbers. I have an example of some stuff that we do. The next things aren't revenue. So it's now, so if Eddie goes out and does 10 deliveries this week and does 12 pickups, we split half of the delivery and we get at the cost for the aren't revenue and half of the pickup. So each stop is half the amount of the total order. Then that makes up the total of what you actually made. And in this business, as you see in the ultimate checklist, which you need to get if you haven't already, you'll see this on here on how to run your financials. It's your earned revenue is actually the money that you're supposed to spend. You're not supposed to spend the cash flow that comes in. You're not supposed to spend what the orders actually made you that week. Everything else should be put in a separate account to be able to, so you can actually be able to have it later on when you need it. Or you can do the model where you run it, where you only pay for your profits. And you only spend from your profits and you keep that cost. You can do that too. It's different methods you can kind of run with. So earned revenue does that. The next thing is driver's efficiency score. This is a story where we were getting bled for a while with the driver's efficiency score. And this is how we actually came up with the commission model.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I guess the standard industry or everybody when they think of work, they just think pay hourly. But one thing that I'm pretty sure that pretty much everybody has experienced, especially in the rental industry, is you get some individuals that kind of know the system and play it very well. They'll just take their time or they'll pull over and take a nap. And this is things that we've kind of learned and saw and basically we've adjusted it where, like, if we lose and they lose, if we win, they win. And so that's one thing that we've developed over time, with our business and just seeing different things, trying different things and see what works. Mm. But for sure, the performance-based pay is like the way to go.
Yeah. Because we started out, we didn't start with first doing the commission pay at first. We just start tracking. I mean, one time I came in and said, like, hey, we're spending like too much on payroll. And you was like, I know. And you was like, fire everybody. I'm like, whoa.
That way we can bring them back in with the same mentality.
Before we fire every single person and we do that, let's figure out what they're actually spending wise. So then from there, and I realized since we started tracking this, mm-hmm. like our numbers have just increasingly went down and down more and more. So basic kind of math that we do right here. You take your total delivery costs of what you make, and then you divide it, then you divide it by the amount that you spent to make that, or you can put your cost to actually do the delivery, which would be from gas to the actual person, but for the person, we just do just their hourly rates and then whatever time they spent, and then how much money they made in that period. and then you'll see what your actual efficiency cost for your drivers on based on how much they're making up. So that's the probably really simple method. So that's how we started out. So when we first started out, the numbers were like 90%. And 90%, some people were at 116%.
The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days, 116%. So that means like if we got paid $100 for delivery and pickup, that they were just them, not gas or insurance or any of the other stuff, they were spending 116% of the amount because they were taking forever. Then we just started tracking that more. So we started at that point, and then we went down next thing. Was like, okay, can we get these people to 60%?
Yeah.
So we start putting the metrics out there. And I remember we put them out there, and then we got them. Like, as soon as we put the number out there, like, we got people right to 60%.
Yeah.
And, like, now we run almost at, like, 30, 32% across the board, which then gives you another, where you can get another 30% with gas and then with, like, your extra insurance fees and stuff for you actually can make profit doing delivery. Because I'm pretty sure most of you guys out there don't make money doing deliveries. And if you want me to do the math with you, we can go through every single piece of it on there. Because having a vehicle isn't free. Insurance isn't free. And if it is free, holla at your boy. But you also check out Next Insurance if you need insurance on there. So the next thing, and this is something that we recently got into the point of actually understanding, is your inventory to storage ratio. So how much inventory can you have in the storage location that you have? And I don't mean just a dollar amount of inventory. We really mean about how much that inventory can make in a week. Mm-hmm. So if you have $100,000 worth of inventory and $100,000 makes you $10,000, and then you spend $5,000 on a warehouse, which hopefully you were not in this situation at all.
Yeah.
Over this, not the situation that you're
in. I hope you make more than $10,000 on $100,000.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. No, a week. My bad, a week. So, actually,
week.
That'd be
okay,
fine.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a month. Like,
yeah. So, let me clarify a week. So, yeah. So,
bankrupt.
So, you basically, you got 4 weeks. You're looking at $40,000. Your storage is five. You're basically looking at, what is that, 12.5% of your storage of your revenue goes to pay for your storage. And that's a huge portion. Like, in some incidences, that can be half of your actual profit just because your storage costs too much.
Yeah.
And you really need looking to get a lower storage cost. So, just remember, when you do inventory to storage, it is your how much you can make in a week in the inventory versus how much your storage costs you that week or whatever time frame that you want to do it over. It's pretty straightforward. We've been talking about this right now because we believe even our warehouse that we just got into, the numbers, it's way better than that, but we need to get that number between 5%. So if you're looking at like a thing, so if you have 10% on this side and you have 2.5% on this side, 2.5% is the optimal version where you're like at the point where you probably need new storage because you're probably packed to the rim. 10% is probably you coming into a new storage, but you really need to be moving towards 5%, 7.5, 5%, or somewhere in like that 3% range. You need to be trying to get to this side of it. And so just think of the spectrum like that. And like we just got a new warehouse, and we're kind of moving towards the 7% of our lowest month revenue is what our rent makes up. And that can be a lot. Now, the highest month, is in the 2.5. We're perfect. We're good. But the way that comes off, it could be from a couple of different things. It can be from you don't have enough, you have a lot of stuff, but you don't have the right stuff. Mm. That you have stuff that takes up too much space.
Yeah.
Would generally be chairs and tables.
Yeah.
Like tables make up, I forgot what percentage of the revenue that we have, but it's like it's a good percentage. But like the amount of storage we have. Space in the warehouse that tables take up is way more than what the revenue will make for those same items. Mm-hmm. So you'll think about your square foot per revenue or per dollar amount that you make. It can be really low when you just have tables and chairs because they take up a lot of spaces.
Yeah.
Just on there.
Or like bounce houses, they roll up pretty tight.
Yeah, real tight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so bounce houses could be good if you're not a bounce house guy. I'm not really a bounce house guy, but if you're a bounce house guy, that could be something good for you.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Pipe and drape?
Pipe and drape.
Those roll up really well, high cost. You can literally be in a little square foot and you can have $1,000 worth of stuff just in a little thing, tents, if you store it correctly.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, I can go up with them.
Yeah. Even like if you do dishes where, because usually whatever you spend on the dishes is what you get back in revenue. So technically you can do that and that could be a good situation as well. That's one thing I think our dishes, like one area that we're going to be working a lot more on too as well. This one, I'm pretty sure, almost 100% sure, And you and y'all drop a comment down below if you know your numbers. What's your number? Like, what is your cost to acquire a customer? And if you said free, then go back and relook at your numbers, because like obviously your time ain't free. The effort you put into it wasn't free. Even if it's something you did once, you still had to pay for it once, and then now it has to be brought across all your leads. So whatever it is. So I know when people think it's free, nothing's free. You might not have monetarily value for it, but it's always a cost associated with it. It could be time. It could be, you're really time and money. I don't know. You know any type of other costs? I guess you can give a part of yourself.
It's about all I think. Like, yeah, time, money.
What's that one song called? Like, I give all of me.
I don't know about that one. You lost me on that song.
You don't know a John Legend song?
No, I don't know.
You don't know? You knew it was John Legend, though. Mm-mm. All right, well.
Go ahead and play it for me.
But okay, so like, you have to look into, you have those two options when you go through like what it costs to acquire a customer.
Yeah.
And I know for us, for a lot of times, like we knew like the total cost for like acquiring customers to like ourselves. So we're at basically like 5 to 10%, depending on the time of year, of what it costs us to acquire a customer. And then we also start breaking down into more different channels. Like what is our cost for Google Ads? What are our costs for Google Places? What are our costs for Eventective? What do you call it?
Eventective.
Yeah. If you don't know what Eventective is, get on the site. It's free for the most part. But if you want to get more leads, it costs a little bit more, but it's straightforward. Eventective, what's your stuff for? Yeah, Bing, whatever. And you can break down, you can take this from the top level and work your way down. Like if we start doing, like not if, when we start doing mailers, we'll be able to have that too, exactly, and be able to track that. You want to make sure you can track these things, or you're going to end up in a tough situation. Because then you might say, like, my average, you ever heard the thing where they say, I know 50% of my advertising is working, I just don't know which 50% it is?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. So that's a real thing that most people have. And I'm pretty sure when you talk to people, it's concrete exactly what that is. And like, I know some conversation we had in the past where they know, because they say this is the effort we're doing, mm-hmm. and it probably all right on it. But
there's nothing to track it. Yeah. I know, like for instance, for us, we're able to see where the traffic came from, and then we can separate everything and then run numbers on that.
Yeah.
So I just imagine if you can't track it, you're just like, it's working, but
it's working.
It I don't like know which working. One's working better, like because I can't track it.
Yeah, and that can be hard when you're trying to determine like what stuff you should focus on, where you should put resources in, across the board and stuff like that.
So, actually, how do people track these things?
Yeah. Oh, Tina. Okay.
Go ahead and contract us. We'll track it for you.
So generally, it's a couple different ways. For us, we have it built into our system, but you can use Google Analytics is a good way to start off with, and you can put conversion tracking on there, and you can put it all across, and it'll track with the sources of everything. Google Analytics is pretty simple, straightforward. If you're doing it through phone calls, it'll just be you need to ask the person where they came from. Now, most people are going to say, I Googled you. If you're running Google Ads or whatever it is, you know, like you need to be like, break that down. Because some people will be like, oh, they Googled me, so I came up in the search results, mm-hmm. and it was fine. But realistically, they Googled, I need chair rentals in this area. And then, you know, and then it popped up. Like, mm-hmm. then like you cut your ads off, and now you're sitting here looking crazy, like, cause like I'm not getting no more searches, I'm not getting anything because you thought it was things. So you want to be more specific on there and understand kind of the basis of it. But that's a good way, and people will tell you straightforward. Like, I seen you on Yelp, I seen you on Facebook, you said free delivery or whatever.
Across,
yeah. But you said you Facebook Marketplace, like you just track the lead source and you just put it in from the very beginning.
No.
I know in the system that we created, you have a lot of different options. It's kind of hard because most systems don't have a built-in with them, just because, you know, most people are trying to build their analytics in all the stuff into one. But that's just something that we did because we were looking for it. And it's hard to justify when you have to tell your partner, hey, you know, like, I need to spend $20,000 on ads. And he was like, do these ads even work? Yeah. And like now, you know, you can say that. Before, it would have been like, well, don't you see the phone ringing? He said, like, technically, no. I'm not around the phone.
Yeah.
So, like, you have those things. So, cost to acquire customers is huge. And the lower you can get that down, the better it is. We actually met up with a person who's been working on their stuff and using stuff we've been using in the time. And they've driven their numbers down pretty well. The only problem is that we don't know exactly if it's 100% converting, but based on what we've seen, it looks like it is. And that's something else that they can work on too, is improving their tracking across all the systems. Mm. Like, let me give you an example. So the ultimate checklist. I'm not selling this time for you, but if you want it, go get it. You need it, whatever. There's a lot of stuff in here. It's very valuable. So like, we track the how many clicks this gets to actually downloads. So basically, this right here will get, you know, for every time someone clicks on the link and goes to it, basically every two times, one person would download the checklist. And so, like, if you think about, you know, just tracking that, where the source is from them, and then we have different sources that come from that links. So we have in the bottom of the description of this one right here, we have in the comment section, and then we have on our little profile bio. The next thing is similar to cost for customer is your cost for lead. So now that you actually have some, you know, before you even do customer acquisition, you technically need leads. So like, what does it cost to get someone convert over to actually give you a lead, to create a quote or whatever, or give you their information? And basically what a lead actually is someone that you have their contact information is. We track those right there, but our biggest thing we worked on is engaged leads. So people who have created a quote with us, and those are the people we focus most of our time on, is people who are actually giving us information and show that they're having an event. But those are like the main ones that you kind of need to focus on. There are some more. All of these and more will be in the checklist, so you can be able to check it out.
All right. And I do have a statistic for us. And this statistic says that companies that regularly monitor KPIs are 50% more likely to achieve their goals.
Remember we said on the last podcast?
What's that?
That we were part of that 50% that didn't do the what you call it at first?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we were at part of the 50% at the beginning too.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of wasted time and money in the beginning because we didn't track a lot of these things. But now that we track it, I mean, now we can easily like do numbers on like how long it'll take to get to this specific point in the business. It's great. Numbers are good. And everybody that the bigger companies do them for a reason because, you know, they're able to project things and spending, budgeting, and all this stuff's good for business growth. It's necessary too. Once you get to a certain number, you can't do a guessing game.
Yeah. Do you remember what the scenario was when we first put it into the warehouse?
I think it was like it was whenever the busy season kind of dropped off, but yet we still had like tons of workers just in there. And I think what I tried to put them to do these projects that were kind of put on the back burner, but it would just suck in so much resources, it just didn't make sense to keep them in there. And that's when we kind of came up with a formula and said, hey, when this goes here, then we do this. And we came up kind of with the ratio to the warehouse, like how many people need to be put in there per a dollar amount that's being brought in during a certain time of the season.
Yeah, based off the earned revenue. So you see how you can start combining these metrics together so you can use it, because we use some of these to represent. Basically, we use earned revenue, and that kind of goes across every single thing that can be compared to see where you're at.
Yeah.
And you'll see, like, different times of the year is different. But I remember when the first time we implemented this in the warehouse, specifically in the warehouse, you remember, like, it was so much competition. Like, people would come in, and then, like, where the board was placed at is, like, the wall right here, which is right next to the wall. I know you call it the wall of good, but the wall of shame because they have destroyed tents on it.
Yeah.
But then is a huge board there where everybody walks through, and they look at their prices. I mean, not prices. What do they look
at? Prices.
they look at
their KPI.
They look at their KPI, individual KPI.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then we have a camera right there, so I just watch. And, like, that's how I knew, like, what I was implementing is working because, like, once people pass by, and you have to pass by because we haven't put a kiosk there that you clock in. And so they pass by, and every time they pass by, I see them turn their head to the left, which is where the board's at. And they look where their number's at, and I knew it was working.
Yeah, so and they had the assignments over there too.
Yeah, well, the assignments were before the boards, but they didn't have to look to the left. I mean, they could have kept going. But yeah, those are the ones that I knew, like, those individuals. And the ones that didn't look, and those are the ones that had generally the worst scores. They knew it, and, you know. We just build a system basically to weed them out and get the best of the best.
Yeah. Has anyone ever or change their own score?
No, because like it gets changed every day. So like if you change your score, it'll look nice up there, but like it really like the management so it sees all the numbers, so it really doesn't matter.
The ultimate checklist is here.
Make sure you guys download the ultimate checklist. This is the rental Bible for everybody that's trying to get rental equipment out there. This helps you through a lot of the issues that we've had in the past and also stuff you might see in the future. So make sure you check that out as we get back to the video. So all of these, every single last one of them, of these KPIs that we mentioned, you need to be tracking, starting from the earned revenue, driver's efficiency score, your inventory to storage ratio, your cost to acquire leads, your cost to acquire customers. You need to be understanding all these, and then your task efficiency scores. We're going to walk you through exactly how to track all of those. I know we talked a little bit in the first section about the cost acquisition, the cost leads. We're going to go more deep into exactly what we do specifically to track these. So, Eddie, how do we track a driver's efficiency scores?
Well, the way we have it right now is basically we see how long it took them to get basically the drive time, also the amount of time that the actual work took to get done. Another thing is accuracy, how accurate were they missing some stuff or everything was where it's supposed to be. And then another thing is just the processes that they're following, basically like taking pictures, the items being certain ways and nice and organized and neat. So those are factors that we use to kind of identify how they're doing as far as their KPI and their overall score.
Okay. What about for the goldfish people out there? What's the quick efficient way?
The quick efficient way?
Yeah, the quick way to figure out what the driver's efficiency score is.
The quickest way is it's like the order to versus what you're paying them, I guess, is a very quick way. It's the best way to see if that's what's panning out to be, a good employee and somebody that you want to be out there doing your deliveries.
Yeah. So that'll show you, as we would say, half the story is the efficiency. It'll show you how fast people get the stuff done. Now, like Eddie said before, now, if their score was $30 for $100 of delivery costs, and then they missed the item, and then that cost another $15 of stuff to do. So now their score is 45. So like we use these extra things to build on top of it to actually get official score what it is, so we can actually understand. So even if you have commissions, like if the person doesn't go back and do the stuff in the commissions, then technically their score is not a 30. Their score is something higher. And so good luck for me, not luck, good luck, but for
no good luck,
good luck. But luckily for us, most of the people on the team we have now, if they make an issue, they make a mistake, they'll just go back and fix it themselves because they don't want to take the hit on the stuff. And as long as they fix it in the time frame that it was supposed to be done in, then, it's all good. And the customer's happy, we're happy. So that's one area right there, the driver's efficiency. Now, the earned revenue. This right here is the most labor-intensive one. In some software, you can just do it right from the beginning if you don't have the software. But you need to just calculate every single order that you're doing this week, and you can start off by just doing the full amount that's for each week. That'd be the easiest way to do it. Another way that I think is actually more correct is like if you have 120 stops and then 40 of them are pickups, do half of those stuff, and then do the other 80 deliveries, do half of those amounts in that week. So you actually can take pace when the work is being done. So you can associate when you're paying for the stuff or when you're incurring the cost, I should say, for this versus when you actually get paid for it. And your earned revenue should get pushed into your main account as you start to do the work. And that's kind of the general standpoint. We have an example that we do internally that we can do. We do one, the software does one, and then we do one internally just to double check it. And it also keeps our sales team on there, checking this stuff on a regular basis. Now, inventory storage. This is right here just, this is, if you don't have an inventory management system, this is, I don't want to say impossible, but nearly impossible. But if you do have a software, you should be able to see this right here. Generally, and most softwares don't have this at all, but ours do. It takes account of all the inventory items, and then it takes on what you can make in an amount in a week or a month or whatever time period you put in there that you can actually make on that based off of going out once. And then people can say, well, I want to go out multiple times. That don't usually happen all the times. But so you might get 1.5 sometimes, but it just ranges. So let's say one time, and then you can take that versus what your storage cost is for a week as well. You can take whatever, just do 12 months times whatever your monthly payment is, divide it by 52, and then that'll be your amount for the most part. So if you're you pay $1,000, you pay $4,000 a month or so, whatever it is, let's say you pay $1,000 a week, then you have $1,000 a week and you make $10,000, that's 10% of the storage cost for what you can make in there. You want that number to be, as we said before, to be under 5, preferably at never higher than 7.5. And if it gets at 2.5, then you're doing very well. But most likely, what we've seen at 2.5, just being in, like when we were in Irving, like you're usually packed to the brim. You know, like you move.
Can't breathe. You're like, where's that one item behind all that stuff?
Like, we have people, we are like, I thought you were fired. I thought you quit. It's like, no, I've been trapped in here since 2012. They can get really tight in there.
Yeah.
so watch out when you're in there. So, but if you're there, and you're comfortable, you probably have the right stuff. You probably have either pipe and drapes, or you have you do mostly tents, or you have a lot of stuff that is very compact that costs a lot. In most places, do AV rentals. You can probably have it in there. We went into yesterday. I was telling you about the camera rental store, mm-hmm. which is 100%. We're going to start a camera rental store. That's in the future. That's going to be something. But like in there, their cost, like their actual how big the area was for storage versus how much they made per item was so high. Like, cause think about it right here, to get 100 chairs or say a 50 stack, and you have white chairs in a 50 stack, some people for $2, some people for $1.50, whatever your number is, that's only $100, you know, for the most part. Now, if you $100 to $75, or some people are doing $1, that's $50. One of these camera lenses that we rented for the 3-day period, and they're required 3 days right there, just that's just the standard part, was like $100. And imagine how much space that took up versus a whole stack of chairs. And like, that's powerful right there. This has been we've been tracking this. We first started out with just doing the total dollar amount they earned for the company, right?
Yeah. In the beginning, it was just like, you know, somebody was there for, was an example, 4 hours. Whatever dollar amount they made for the company, we would just record that and put it against what we pay them.
Yeah. No, we didn't do that first.
Oh, we didn't put it against what they paid them? Oh, no, you're right. We just did. Yeah, you're right. No, we just did the dollar amount, the flat dollar amount. So, like, we'll just pretend like somebody made us $100 worth of equipment that they cleaned or whatever, and that's what they would get. But the problem was that some people, like on Saturday, we were open from like 9 to 1. So that person has a very little amount of money that they can give us, and we're like, hey, what's going on? And then we're like, oh, wait a minute, this is not fair. Because then the other guys that have been there since like for like 8 hours or, you know, whatever, they're looking like they're amazing people because they're able to get so much more done. But and sometimes when you weigh it against, then the problem was we're like, hey, that's not fair. Let's retweak this system. And then that's when we weighed it against their actual pay. And then the people that were at the top, they're all of a sudden, oh, you're just average Joe. What the heck? And then the ones that were at the bottom were, like, shot up to the top because, like, the amount of time that they were there, they really put in work. And you know, in a way, I was thinking, maybe this actually helped them out because they were trying their best to do as much as they can. And then now, like, when we switched it, the ones that were, like, doing their very best is, like, doing as much work as they can as possible, they're, like, at the top. And then the ones that are, like, well, shoot, I'm doing good. And they're just kind of floating because, like, I have all these hours that I can get this number. Now they're, like, towards the middle or towards the bottom. They're, like, hey, what happened? And they would come up to us, too, and like, hey, I like the old system better because I was the best.
Yeah, I was the top G.
Yeah, and
top
then, G. And I would do some stuff, too. I'd be, like, hey, I'm going to go take you out to eat, whoever's the top guy for the end of the month. And they were all, like, I remember there was this one guy, he was like counting on it. He's like, oh, I'm gonna take my girlfriend. Can I take her? I was like, yeah, that's fine, no problem. So I'm pretty sure he like made arrangements with her or whatever and said, baby, I'm gonna take this nice steak dinner. And then like we switched it like half a month, and then like he was like, oh man. I'm at the bottom now.
He's like,
dang. Hey man, let's go back to the old system till the end of the month, then you can change it. I'm like, no, we're gonna move
this. So like I think we should go back to the old system. Like I think it more reflected what work we did and our value.
Yeah, get out of here.
I was like, yeah, nice to spend 10 hours and then get paired to somebody doing 2 hours.
Yeah,
because
sometimes they would like, we're like, hey, we need all this stuff done. Can you stay extra time? Like, yeah. And then they would do it. It's just, it's a great, and I love these KPIs because like literally people cannot hide from the numbers. You know what I mean? It's like a spotlight, you know, because like some people, everybody knows this. Like, they'll just blend in and they look like they're working or whatever. You're like, oh, well, so-and-so, yeah, he's working. Because when you pop the corner, they're like, but as soon as you turn around, they're like, all right, I gotta keep on watching this or listening and doing all this on the phone, taking an hour, you know, restroom break and all this stuff. Like, Like,
wait. Do you remember? Do you remember when Devontae was at work live streaming?
Oh yeah, live streaming. He like, yeah, I'm in here.
Then he got fired on. He got fired on the
live stream. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I think he was at Taco Bell.
Yeah,
it's an ex employee that used to work with us, but we're still cool with them and everything like that. So I was following him. I was like, hey, look, there goes Devontae. And then he's like in the dish area. I think it's like a Taco Bell or something like that. And then the manager's like, what are you doing? You can't be live streaming. Like, he's like, boss, but I'm still working. And like, you can't do that.
You just have to go.
But like stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, that's why that's a cool thing. Like with this, like you can't really run away from, you can't fake it. You know what I mean? Because like the numbers go against what we're paying the person. So
yeah,
you can easily. And I think we talked about this before, but like Amazon does the same thing. Like,
yeah,
they track the performance on everybody, and you know, after so many, I don't know, a quarter or whatever, they look at everybody's numbers and then they get the bottom percentages out and then re-put new people in there.
I think Amazon does that on a weekly basis.
Or maybe it's a weekly basis. Or not. Maybe not
my Amazon guy don't change like 5-10 times.
Where's the Amazon guy? Or at least, you know, like the ones that are there, they're really good. They're highly valued. You know what I'm saying? It's great. It's, you can track everybody's performance and then you can, like, obviously you want to have the best of the best in your company. And the best is going to help you grow faster. The other ones will make mistakes, put you in bad situations, flood your place.
Yeah.
All these things that we've talked about in the past. But it's great. I love these KPIs.
Yeah, but we have to look at it good. Those people made us fans of Next Insurance.
Oh yeah, they sure did. Next Insurance loves us and we love them for helping us out.
We really appreciate them.
Yeah.
Like they've literally saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like I can't even like tell you, like, that is crazy. So don't let stuff happen to you, and don't allow average employees to exist in your small business. But the next thing, but going into, like, what Eddie's saying, and going more into the task efficiency scores, because, like, we started out with just a total dollar amount, and then we went from dollar amount to we went to the actual, like, what they actually got paid off the org, and then, as you said, it realigned everything across the board, and then you had to have that across the week and stuff like that. Now, the one thing that we did notice that people who worked less days usually did better for least amount of days they worked.
Yeah, even now to this time, like the person that works Saturday generally does way better, and just because, well, I think I blame it on the old system, but because they were just so used to like pushing as hard as they can, so once they hit the door, they're like boom, they're instantly going and they're doing things. Because they're trying to get their number as high as possible, and it's just motivation, really. It's actually pretty cool. I associate to, like, you know, when I used to play soccer, and my dad was like, you know, when my dad wasn't there, I'd be like, okay, I'll just kind of float by. But my dad was there, and he's like, hey, you better. I'm like, oh shoot, and I'm like showing out and just like doing the best that I can, and that's kind of like what the KPI does. It's kind of like it's like the dad there watching you, and you're trying to do your best because, like, obviously, you know, dad can see you and you don't have a talk to you when you get in that car. You're like, hey, why didn't you do this? Well, at least my dad did.
Yeah.
But
and then yeah.
yeah.
We have to get sentimental about it. But yeah. Every single employee that you have should be directly related to a KPI. And that's one thing that we're working across the whole business on right now. We've already done it with drivers, which was, for us, was the easier because the system told us all information. We moved to the warehouse side. We have stuff for the managers, and then we're moving to even like the sales teams. I guess sales teams are easy.
That's the easiest.
Yeah, that was the easiest technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you can look at, for us right there, it's like obviously how many sales you close, how much revenue you generate. You can basically do all the stuff that we talked about, like what each person does.
Yeah.
And then we have a huge list, and then we do these sales competitions because like the problem with sales people is that, not problem with sales people, the problem with paying sales people is that when you don't do it by commission, you keep paying people more and more, but technically more experience doesn't always equate to more money in your account. The only thing that equates strictly to more money in your account is getting more money in your account.
Mm-hmm.
So we do these weekly sale goals where a person can make literally twice the amount of money that they would make in a week by just winning the competitions. And it also allows us not to have to pay increase without getting more performance. And so we raise the goals up, and you can win multiple different ways to get into it so you can win. And that really has helped us out and keep people laser focused because we have some real killers on the team right now.
Oh, yeah.
Tina, hit me with that statistic.
All right, so 70% of organizations struggle to link their KPIs to their business strategy.
Okay, I believe that. I'm pretty sure it's like 90, but whatever.
So they have the numbers and they don't know how to strategize it so they can further their business goals.
Yeah, but I think it also could be they don't have the numbers.
But they don't have
them. I think it could be both of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you have the numbers, then you can easily implement things.
What if your numbers don't associate what you're trying to do? Like, what are the KPIs that you put up here actually don't relate to the goals you have? That's a good thing. Like, you're seeing, like, we care about quality, but I don't think you're tracking the speed.
I mean, like, KPIs is to increase profitability. So isn't that everybody's goal to be more profitable?
I hope so. Is it you guys' goal? You guys let me know if
it's maybe they're charity, then they don't care about profit. They're a nonprofit.
Yeah. This is not here for nonprofits. So if you're a nonprofit right now, go in and click off. Or if you're a nonprofit, can you want to start a rental business and make a whole bunch of money to put into the nonprofit and stay on?
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, so cover those up. So I'm just saying, like, technically, like, some people, I'm pretty sure if you look at your KPIs, look at the KPIs and look at what they're actually tracking for, and then you put what your actual goal is. If your goal is, let's say your goal is to be the highest quality product, but then the only thing you're tracking is how fast stuff gets done. And usually, as we know, quickness is the enemy of quality.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
And the friend of quantity.
Yeah.
I think I just made that up, hopefully.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead and sign and date it right here. Said by Xavier. I'm going to put it on the T-shirts.
There you go. But, yeah, that is true to an extent. Because, like, one thing that, like, even we did, like, we had contractors before. And
I hate contractors.
And then we come to find out that the contractors are not team-friendly. They are individual.
Like, they'll get it done, guys.
Me. I'm going to get it done, but all about me, baby.
What's that song? It's me.
Yeah.
I'm the problem, it's me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's pretty cool that we kind of found that out. But at the time, it was great because we're like, okay, well, you know, we don't have to worry about this.
You got real
good
work.
But, you know, whenever a warehouse person's like, all right, I'm going to help you offload, he's like, I'm not offloading it. That's you. And they would just leave, like, what? And then they're not team. Kind of like they don't think about the company or anything like that. Well, at least we've learned from the groups, and we've done multiple groups. But that's the general mindset of a contractor, just like it's just me and not really worried about you.
Yeah, you guys seen those Amazon guys come and punch your stuff right into your door?
Yeah, they're like, all right, here you go. They kick your package.
I don't know about Amazon guy, but that FedEx or the UPS, one of those guys is really bad. Like, I swear they like fast throw, they like do a fast pitch and throw it at the door.
It's UPS and FedEx. I've seen videos of Amazon workers like chasing after like, what is it? Porch pirates, the people who steal your packages. I've seen like three different videos of three different Amazon workers like chasing after those people.
Yeah, I think Amazon people are better. No. But you've seen them also. But also too, I realize Amazon have it in a system in a way that the person gets compensated, which is how we do get compensated, not just how fast they get the work done, but how well they get the work done. And I think those have to be aligned when you have contractors. Because I think our system, just how we set it up, doesn't work the best with contractors. Contractors are not, from our experience, are not as well as good when it comes to doing something that has to be done, like has to be done for a long period of time. Like if it's quick, easy, and they can get it done, contractors are good to go with it. Like if we ever brought contractors back on here, when we expand to other places, it will only be to do small jobs that can be done really quick in their own vehicle, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
And not literally putting it in our vehicles, other stuff, and then they'll have to get a whole bunch of rules set that they have to follow to get it done. And not the opposite way, because when you have them doing tents and all this other stuff, they're just trying to get it done faster than possible because they want their number to rise up. And also too, and from their mindset, they don't have to. They just think like, well, I'm not going to see these people no more. No matter, I'm on team me.
Yeah.
Me. That's it. And so like you have to really watch out for that. So if you're now have got all your KPIs together and you're looking at it, say, okay, now I'm tracking everything. Everything's bad. So like, where do I start? So the first thing, if you're looking at driver's efficiency scores, and you'll be in the same position that me and Eddie were in, you're like, yeah, that's not going to work paying more for the delivery than what it cost us to do. That's not going to work. So, like, what's the first thing that we did?
Well, I think the first thing we did is we looked at, like, overall, like, how we can make it easier, I guess you can say, for the actual deliveries, in a sense. Because one thing that we could just jump into it and just start slashing everybody's pay. But then we might have backlash, and then now all the work can't get done, you know. So what we did is we looked at the whole overall process and like what was being done and like the amount of work that how we can like cut down the time on what's currently being done. So once we did that, we made it easier. Then we started moving and getting new hires and then starting implementing the new hires with the new system. And then eventually we started showing the scores on everybody. That way they can visually see where they're at in our currently system. You know, spotlight's on you now. It's kind of like you ever flip the switch and all the roaches are like, and they just take off running. And y'all that haven't seen that, that's good because it's kind of scary. Yeah.
You have lived a good life.
But for us, we know what it is. You're like, oh heck, I didn't even know there were this many in here.
Yeah, the problem is too, is when you get to a certain level that you get to, you cut the lights on and they don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Actually, they cut the light off.
They look at you like, what are you doing?
What are you doing here? You need to scurry.
And then they're like, where's this month's pay? Come on. Yeah.
It's like, does that roach have combat boots on?
He sure does. He's about to kick you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically what's going to happen. It's just like, once you start systems and you start gathering everybody's numbers, the light's going to be switched on. And now your next step is just to start figuring out, like, okay, how can I make this better? Not only like the system on how everybody does and how everything moves, but also like how we get the cost down, because like if you make things more easier and then the deliveries are going a lot faster, in a sense the amount that you have to pay out should be starting to stay in house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and this can be done for any of the efficiency scores. First, you start out seeing like what staff should pay of like what you're doing. Like, is this actually what it should be done for? So, hopefully. You have someone who's at a lower rate and you can kind of see what they're doing to go through the process. So for us, I think we had Kobe who ran off of a 1 day so we can track it, or a couple of days, a week, whatever time frame was.
Yeah.
So we can be able to see what it went. Then we had a couple people, some days would do very well and some days they wouldn't do well, and we were able to figure out the difference. A big portion for most of you guys are going to have, and I know we were saying like we want to be in the 30% now, in the 30% and stuff like that. If your delivery is $25, you're 100% going to be, like, you need to, like, instead of trying to get better at the thing, you need to raise your prices on delivery. That's probably the biggest thing you need to start off with. So, like, it'll be able to tell you those things, too. So, like, you'll see if you're 350% over, then, like, and you should at least minimum move your delivery fee up to whatever that percentage is so that you can be able to at least break even.
Yeah.
So you have two approaches. You can raise prices or you can lower down your expenses. So once you raise prices up to a point, at least up to market level, then you want to work down, or you can work down both at twice. We did both of those. So for us, we raised our prices up a little bit. We weren't too far off to get to where we can actually run it with no issues. And then from there, we worked on actually making our deliveries profitable so we can be able to run in them. And you can do that too for the warehouse team as well. For us, the easiest thing was that when you had people who, you know, who got paid, blah, 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 and made $100 in 1 day, and then they only did $100 worth of work, or $70 worth of work, or $32.50, whatever the amount, not trying to get personal, but whatever amount they did, you can then just go through and you can just cut those people so that they don't work in the system. Generally, we talk to them, see what's going on, but like if you hit 32s on a regular basis, like you just can't be here. Like we're losing money just hiring you. And any company that has anybody on there, if you provide less than what they're paying you, then you're not going to get paid for much longer. So you can't strap all the value up. And he was doing more value. He was getting more value than what we were getting. And then any role, like any employment role or worker, as Tina says, world, that you need to give more. The employee needs to give more to the company than the company gives to them. And that's usually how it works out. Generally for us, we like to be 2 to 3 times more when it comes to warehouse, the drivers. We're in the 3 to 4 range just because of what they're doing. And then like our media team, hopefully we should be getting 100x, hopefully in the future, or somewhere around that too as well. But once we get the KPIs for them individually, they'll be able to make more money as well, because they'll be able to know what actually drives revenue for them across the board. And so that's the biggest thing everybody wants to do. Now, taking away from all the efficiency scores and getting into like inventory, because it's something that we're in right now, inventory to storage ratio. Where we're at like a 7.5% or 7%, I think, technically. Like, we're trying to get that down lower. So it's two ways you can get an inventory score. You can spend less money on your space. If you're locked into an agreement, then that makes it a little bit more challenging. Yeah. But you also can go the other way. You might be at the end of your agreement. Who knows?
But increase inventory that brings a high value.
Yeah, increase the inventory you have in there, and either fill your space up more, or you need to just like I said, you need to get more stuff like pipe and drapes, tents, or AV equipment, yeah. Audio visual equipment that can offset the balance of it, so you can get down at 25% and bring the amount down.
25?
Not 25% down.
Oh, okay.
Or 30% down from like 7.5 to 5%, so 33% down. So you can bring that down, and that's a simple way to think about it. It's gonna take time, resources, money, and that's just really just like how much money you can make with your inventory, or how much money are you making with your inventory, I should say. And then what's your cost of your rental stuff? So either your rent needs to go down, or
you need to make more.
So, or a mix of both.
Yeah.
The next thing, the cost to acquire customers. Generally, from what we've seen, is that generally if your ads, so first we start with the lead cost. If you're spending $175 on leads, and your average and your lead converts, you know, 1 out of 10 leads convert, and then your average cost for something is $1,000, you're losing money. Because basically you're at $175 per lead, $1,750 for a customer, but your customer only makes $1,000. So like you're already losing money. So from that one, you need to come up with better ads and you need to put it in front of people who care about what you're doing more. So you probably need to fix your targeting. So the audience, people you're reaching out to, your ad and your creative is kind of straightforward. Mm-hmm. Need help with that? Reach out to us. We'll help you out with the stuff. And that's the same thing also for the customer side too. It's usually your lead costs are too much, or you're not converting your leads. Cause like for us, we'll convert basically about 35% of all the leads that come through. And then sometimes when it gets like in the winter time, when we have less stuff going out, that number will go to like 42, 43. Cause we'll be more willing to deal with people during the busy season. We'll get more leads than we actually need. So we'll hit a cap where we just don't have nothing to sell the person.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of work through that. For us, during the slow season, when that number we feel like is going down on our cost to acquire customers, we just make more concessions. Because we're already paid for the lead anyway. Why not lose them? Why lose them? So we just work on that, since you're not going to have most of the stuff out. Our revenue is not really something that is good or bad, except if you're like specifically like trying to get to some point. Only reason why it's bad, if you didn't make enough money that week, like actually that you earned, that is for you to pay for your bills and stuff. So that's just very personal. So it depends on what you're doing. So if your run rate is $50,000, well, let's do it, make it smaller, say $5,000 per week. And then you only make $5,000, and that's not good, or $3,000, mm-hmm. and you spend three. So that is the whole thing you need to work out.
Yeah.
And you need to use, you know, your revenue generated, your revenue, all of a sudden, your cash flow, to be able to determine how that works and stuff like that to make that better. But you just need to increase those by doing that. But for the most part, these are like very straightforward on how to do them. We've been doing this for a while, so I've been happy. I mean, at first, I mean, what you used to say to me when I just tell you stuff like this.
What did I say? Can you refresh my memory?
Yeah, that's the thing. You never listen.
I don't listen. Eventually, I do.
Yeah. At first, I was like, I don't need to hear none of that stuff. Let's get to the money.
Let's get it. Come on.
Like,
why?
No, but then I think if you, because I'm saying you could specifically know this right here, because you weren't always on this side. How would, if someone's with a partner and they want to convince them to do it, like how did you get convinced?
How did I get convinced?
Especially so early, because you could have got, because let's say it could have been like last week and you could have just started. But like,
well, the thing I think what really like kind of opened up my mind is whenever I would see the the numbers there basically is what convinced me. When we were kind of like guessing and not really like knowing, throwing the dart in the dark and not knowing, like, because like for instance, I think like the first year. Like whenever we came back strong, we didn't have like the projections and stuff that we have now. Like we can project, like, okay, well, last year it was doing this for us. So at this time, the leads are going to drop off, or they're going to increase like tenfold. So we now can compare, and then we can basically get ready for those things. But back then, when we didn't have that data, we were kind of like figuring it out. we didn't have that information, so it was kind of hard to when to, I guess, hold on to things and when to push out, if that makes sense. Like, because there's times that you should be like wrapping up on employees and really hammering down on stuff, and then there's times that, you know, it's time to hold on to and like kind of refine everything. But you know, now we have all that information, but at the time I didn't, and it was kind of frustrating. And that's the point that it got to me, like when it became really frustrating, because like I was like, I don't know what to do, to be honest, because like, you know, I could see the money going out, but the money wasn't coming in at a certain rate. And that's when it basically changed my mind, is just the whole thing about money, you know, because I think as an owner, it's one thing that you don't want to happen is like things that shrink up and you don't have enough money to pay everything. And I mean, is running the operation and stuff. That's one thing that I'm always looking at. It's like how much is coming in and how much is going out. And with me not knowing a lot of this information, and then, you know, Xavier like, oh, hold on, you know, telling me that kind of frustrated me. And I was ready to just jump on it and hit it full force and get numbers on everything. That way I can better understand and know what exactly I need to do and when I need to do it.
Yeah. And that's when we got to pass information to each other. So if you're the person who got the report, you need to give that person information. I know for us, we send, it's what we did last week, from earned revenue, cash flow, and then revenue generated across all the business lines that we have. And then also too is what we spent on employees on payroll. Let's go to the statistics.
All right. So this statistic actually puts a spotlight on why it is important to basically cut out anything that is not generating money. So anything that is just causing an issue for your business, cut it out, because this statistic will tell you why. Okay, so 82% of businesses that fail do so because of cash flow problems.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, yeah. Only way to get a business
that's the lifeline.
Yeah,
of the business. It's the blood of the business.
Yeah. Blood, oxygen, both.
So the body is the business, and then the cash flow is the blood that flows through the veins and keeps everything alive, yeah. Life.
It's the blood, the oxygen, the water.
Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. The desire.
Yep.
To stay alive.
Yep.
But let's go into the rental rundown.
Rental rundown.
All right. So the first question that I have for you guys is, where do I start when implementing KPI to my business?
So the first place to start is knowing what your revenue is, your earned revenue, your cash flow, simple stuff like that. From a sales perspective, your cost to acquire customers. From an operations standpoint, where do they start at?
Well, it depends. Like, if it's just like an owner operator, kind of like you're doing everything, I would kind of try to trickle down on like what the actual delivery cost would cost, because I think that you can move that around more. And I'm hoping that they have ambitions to grow, and eventually they move out of doing the actual work, day-to-day work. So I'd start there, kind of figure out what the actual true cost, you know, the monthly payment, if you're making payments on a vehicle, the gas. That way when you actually do a job, you can say like, okay, well, this is the numbers that it actually costs me to do this work, and then you can make better judgments. Because sometimes I think even we know sometimes that in the beginning, like we would do work and then it just didn't make sense now that we look at it. But back then we were like, oh, well, we made money. Like, but we didn't really make money, if that makes sense, because there's actual operational cost that goes behind every trip.
Yeah. And the biggest thing, which this should be intuitive, is profit. What did you actually get from the effort at the end of the day? Like, how much money do you make?
All right, so the next question I have is, how has analyzing KPI transformed your business? And do you guys have any numbers on that?
We haven't set up a KPI for KPIs.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
we haven't done that yet. That's something we probably should do.
Hey, we probably should, but like me personally on the operations side, I think KPI is like night and day. It's just been a big game changer. Like the headaches that we were having before, we don't have them anymore. just the culture and how everything flows, how everybody, it just everybody just works better together. One of the examples, I think, like our manager Kobe, he told me, he's like, he used to be always frustrated and like thinking that it was his fault because he's, you know, bad at managing or whatever. But in reality, it was the team that we basically gave him, and we didn't have a certain tracking for that. And now that we can track it, then we can easily identify people and see like if they work great with our company and our systems. And he has less headaches, and actually his hair is starting to grow back, believe it or not. But no, he's way more happier. And I think that's a thing. Like, this is gonna like take a load off like on the team that you have, and then on you as well. And then on top of that, you're not gonna be stressed out like not knowing like am I gonna make it? Like, is this making money, or are we a failing business? And sometimes the one thing that I've heard from other companies is sometimes they find out too late, because they don't actually look into it till it becomes a problem. And then when they do find out that it is a problem, it's too late, because they haven't been tracking this whole time. And then they finally find out that it's over. They can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's sad.
Sad.
But if you get the ultimate checklist, you won't have that issue or anything you have to do. So check this out. It has all the KPIs in there on the new edition. So by before this comes out, it'll be on there. But for the new edition, it'll be on there with all the definitions. But if you haven't already, if we give you even an ounce of value at all, an ounce, subscribed.
Or a gram.
A gram.
I mean,
a gram, an ounce, whatever it is. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on here on YouTube or wherever you are. And also, too, you know, don't be afraid to leave or drop a comment and tell us how everything's going. And then if you made it all the way to the end, then you're a real one. So go in and put the real ones down there. Put the 100s in there. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we're the Rental Boys, and we'll see you in the next one. See you. Girls.